I thought about the scriptures this morning and about how we, living out our lives here on earth, are to glorify God in fulfilling our purpose. We've learned that the Bible teaches us that God created the heavens and the earth. He created humankind with the direct purpose of glorifying Him, and that God is the great creator. That we are to make Him our God. He's revealed Himself to us. And in His revelation, we're to respond by accepting Him and as our God, our own personal God. And as we do that, we begin a relationship with God, our Creator, the Maker of the heavens and the earth. And in that relationship, we converse and interact with God in various ways. And one of those ways that enriches our relationship with Almighty God is to share with God. Most people are taught as children to share. Sharing allows others to use or enjoy what belongs to someone else. It allows others to benefit from what is ours, or so we think is ours. Sharing builds good relationships. Sharing builds others up, exposes us to things, exposes us to events, to different qualities of life, which we may not have had a chance to experience had someone not shared them with us. In a true friendship, sharing is not paying back someone for what they've done or what they've shared. It's not evening the score per se. You know, we get into these relationships and someone took us out for dinner this one night to their favorite restaurant and paid, so now it's our turn to take them out and pay. In a true friendship, it's not really that way. Most of the time, it's not the thing shared that makes the difference in the relationship, but it's that the person was willing to allow another person to benefit from what they possess. When we make new friends, we like to share some of the things that we value in life. It's a way of connecting, and it's a way of forming common bonds in those relationships. Maybe we have a favorite eating place, and when we make new friends, we like to share that place with them and take them there. Maybe we have favorite activities that we like to do. We like to share them with others. Maybe we have a favorite book that we've read that's helped us out, and we want to share that. Or maybe even our homes. We want to share it with others. Invite them over to our homes for activities, maybe Bible study or other activities. Maybe to watch a big game on TV or for a home-cooked meal. Maybe it's our tools that we have. We have certain tools. Someone needs them, so we share them. Or maybe even our property. In these particular cases, I have experienced great blessing here in the valley. From many, many people. Some have shared their favorite activities with me, and that's how I have become engaged in, to put it the best way, the hunting activities I've become engaged in. People sharing their hunting dogs, their time, others sharing their land for my benefit, sharing their property. It's been very enriching for me and has enriched my life greatly that others have shared those things with me while I have been here. I've been the beneficiary of beautiful, beautiful sunrises and sunsets sitting on the hilltops hunting geese here through people that have shared their land with me. But in turn, what good does that do unless I in turn share that with others and have experienced great joy inviting others to come along watching those sunsets and those sunrises, but most importantly sharing the Word of God with them while we watch the sunrise or the sunset. It's just such an awesome experience when we share things and share our faith with one another. Everyone benefits through these sharing activities. In all, when we share, we are reciprocating or passing on the blessings that we enjoy. And as we live out our purpose to glorify God, we find ourselves in a relationship with God in one way or another. You may be very close to God. You may have a relationship with Him where you spend hours every day with Him. You're always talking to Him, always praying, and you're always mindful of His presence. Or maybe your relationship is not really that good and you never feel His presence. You really don't have time to talk to Him. You don't invite Him into your life or into your home or into your activities. Either way, you have a relationship with God. It's either a good one or it's a not so good one. We all have a relationship with God. Something that makes a relationship with God so special is God's willingness to share what is His with His friends. And herein is the blessings that I have found so wonderful in having that relationship with God. Psalm 24, I believe it is, says that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. In other words, everything on this earth belongs to God. So when we have something, we only have it because God has allowed us to have it. You can argue till the cows come home that you worked hard for something, worked all your life for something, and you deserve it, and that is not true in God's Word. You only have what you have because God has chosen to give it to you. And what God expects out of you in glorifying God is to share that with other people. Because it does us no good if we are hoarders and hoard every blessing that God has given us in this life to ourselves. That's not the purpose of it all, you see. And I am just so amazed at what God has shared with us. It's incredible beyond what we can imagine. Paul was writing to the Ephesians about the position of believers. And he says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ." See, here is God's eternal purpose. God's eternal purpose. He blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. And He chose us in Christ before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. This is His eternal purpose and His loving choice that He chose to bless us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Now, here's the key to understanding God sharing with us. God does not have to share anything with anybody. We have the whole creation around us to enjoy. And in Genesis, it tells us that we were to subdue the earth, that humankind was to be the caretakers of the earth, to be in an authority on the earth. God didn't have to do that, see. He didn't have to allow us to enjoy any of this. And in a relationship with God, I'm in awe of the fact that God would share any of His creation with me. Why would He do that? Why would God share anything with me? You know, when we see the heavens and the works of God's hands, like the psalmist said, who am I that God even thinks about me, that you're mindful of me? God did it because it was His eternal purpose and His loving choice that He blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Now the problem today is we get so focused on the earthly blessings. I'm going to talk about them here in just a little bit, that we lose sight of the true important blessings, the spiritual blessings. He chose us in Christ before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in God's sight. In love, He predestined us to be adopted as His sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with His pleasure, to the praise of His glorious grace, which He's freely given us in the one He loved. Which He has freely given us. We don't pay for it. We don't work for it. It's God's eternal purpose, His loving choice, and it's for God's glory that He poured out every heavenly blessing in Jesus Christ. And gives it to us freely. In Christ we have redemption through His blood. We have the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that He lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And then He made known to us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Christ. In other words, He didn't keep it a secret. He made it known to us. Paul's writing to the believers, by the way, when he says to us. He's talking about the believers. God lavished made known to us the mystery of his will, to be put into effect when the times have reached their fulfillment, and to bring everything in heaven and earth together under one head, even Christ. His eternal purpose to bring everything together under Christ, to bless us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing, declaring us holy and blameless in his sight, adopting us as sons. Now, that might not sound like a whole lot in comparison with $1 million or a brand new vehicle to drive or a beautiful house, but I want to tell you something, folks. Until we stop viewing our spiritual life and our spiritual journey and our relationship with God in earthly terms and start focusing heavenward with our eyes fixed on Christ, the author and perfecter of our faith, until we start having a more divine attitude and outlook on life, knowing that our God has blessed us beyond what we can ever be blessed on this earth, we will never be happy or find joy on this earth. We've got to refocus what is really important. And what's really important is God has chosen to share his spiritual blessings, because it was his eternal purpose, his loving choice, and it was for his glory. Paul wrote to Timothy, "Don't be ashamed to testify about our Lord or ashamed of me as his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, the God who saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we've done, but because of his own purpose and grace." You see, God doesn't bless us because of anything that we've done. We don't pay for it, we don't earn it. God chose to do it. It was his eternal purpose. He shared it with us. His grace. And this grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, Paul writes. And now it's been revealed through the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ. So God has shared with us his eternal plan and purpose for us in Jesus Christ. And he's given us grace. That's a great gift that he shared with us. He didn't have to. He didn't have to. In Romans, Paul writes, "Hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit." God has shared his love. He's given us his love and his Holy Spirit. You see, in Colossians, Paul writes to the believers in Colossae, "We pray in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might." Why? "So that you may have great endurance and patience and joyfully give thanks to the Father." In other words, that through living our lives worthy of the Lord, pleasing the Lord, we find patience and joy and thanksgiving. God shares those things with us in this life. And also that we might share, Paul writes, in the inheritance of the saints. That we are given a great inheritance. We are promised through Jesus Christ an inheritance with the saints. Now they are other believers. That inheritance is our place in eternal life with God. That is guaranteed to believers, not to unbelievers. Peter writes, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope." So Peter's telling us that God has shared with us and given us a new birth and given us hope. In other words, we're not the old person. We are born again, spiritually reborn, and now we have a sense of hope because we're not who we were. The old person is gone. The new has come, the scriptures say. And it happens through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade for those who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of salvation is revealed. So you see, God gives us an inheritance. He protects us until that time comes for us to go to be with him. Hope, new birth, inheritance, protection. In our reading this morning, John writes, "We accept man's testimony, but God's testimony is greater because it's the testimony of God." God's given us his witness, his word about his son Jesus. Anyone who believes in the Son of God has this testimony. What's God's testimony? That Jesus is His Son, the giver of everlasting life. If we don't believe God, we've made God out to be a liar. I want you folks to understand the seriousness of these words in the Bible. Anyone who believes in the Son of God has this testimony in his heart. God's testimony, not man's testimony. God's testimony, God's witness, that Jesus is the way to eternal life. If we don't believe that, we have made God out to be a liar, because we've not believed the testimony that God has given about His Son. I want you to think about that in this world today, and in our culture. And the people who reject Jesus Christ are making God out to be a liar? That's pretty serious stuff. And John says this is the testimony that God has given us: eternal life. And this life is in His Son. So you say you don't believe that? You believe there are other ways to eternal life? That's not the testimony God has given us. So you're saying God's a liar, right? This is the testimony God's given us: eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He who has the Son has life. He who doesn't have the Son of God does not have life. Either life or death. John says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. That's assurance. So what is God sharing with us? He's sharing with us His witness about Jesus, His Son. He's sharing with us eternal life, which He wouldn't have to through believing in His Son. And He's sharing with us, or giving us, assurance. You see, that we can know through Jesus we'll have eternal life. That it's assurance, that we can be sure of that, because we have God's testimony, not the world's. God's testimony is greater than man's testimony. We've got a lot of wise people in this world today, a lot of intellectual people who have studied and studied and studied what they've studied, and come to the conclusion that they're not sure if God exists or not, that there are other ways to eternal life, and maybe there is no such thing as eternal life. That's man's testimony. That's not God's. That's not God's. God's testimony is that He's given us eternal life, and He's given us eternal life through His Son. Now, in terms of our friendship with God, I want you to think about these spiritual blessings. Spiritual blessings. The inheritance. Thanksgiving. Joy. Patience. Endurance. New birth. Hope. Shielded by God's power. God's witness. Eternal life. His love. His Holy Spirit. These are the things that our friend God has shared with us. So I say, okay, I know that I'm blessed. I understand God has given me so much, even eternal life, and I'm thankful for that. What a relationship. Just having the knowledge that God's given me a lot. Remember how we learned that glorifying God involves responding to Him and His relation? In our relationship, responding to God, responding to God, revealing Himself to us, how important that is. So the question is, how do we respond to our divine friends sharing grace? How do we respond to God's sharing of grace? Isn't sharing what we've been taught since we were children? Doesn't sharing enrich our relationships? Isn't sharing a way of connecting and forming bonds? How are we going to respond in our friendship with our divine friend? What would you say is the appropriate response of sharing with our holy friend? What's our best things that we can share with God, because we know He shared the best with us? There is nothing greater. So what are the best things that we can share with God in this friendship? Because it has to be a reciprocal. It can't be one way if it's a true friendship. What are our best things that we can share with God? All right, I'm going to start with money. Oh, the church just wants our money. God just wants my money. No, God doesn't. He wants your heart. Because He knows when He has your heart, you'll start to see money like He sees money. God, you know what God thinks of money? God looks at money and He says, that's not worth a thing. That's just paper. Money is worthless to God. But unfortunately, in our relationship, we don't see it that way. We think money is so important that we cling to it. We worship it. We honor it. We go out of our way to get more of it because we think in money lies security and lies our future and lies our hope and lies our patience and lies our endurance and in lies our inheritance and in lies our new birth. In money lies our protection. But one thing we can never have is eternal life or assurance. You see, money's worthless to God, and until we start to see money in that way, we will never have that close friendship with God. Secondly, about our time. How about our time? People devote more time every single day to simple things like brushing their teeth, eating their breakfast, than they do spending time with God. Praying, reading God's Word, even talking to God going down the road. We pick up our cell phones the minute we jump in our cars in the morning and we want to know what's going on in the world with our friends around us, and we talk all the way to work. We get to work all day long, we're texting, we jump in our cars and we get on our phones and we talk all the way home, and we never think twice about talking to God. How about our cars? How can I glorify God with my car? My car is a gift to me. My old Ford pickup truck is a gift to me, folks. How can I glorify God with my vehicle? I remember a few years back when we lived down in Clearfield County, we had this old Plymouth Voyager. Wine color, the interior was wine color. And we drove that thing, and we drove it, and we drove it, and finally it got to the point where it needed so much work, it wouldn't even pass inspection. So we prayed about it, and lo and behold, the Lord provided another van for us at a very low cost. So we ended up using that van to drive around and pick up kids to take the youth fellowship each week during the week, along with other things and taking the kids to activities. How can I use my car to glorify God? There's a lot of people need a ride to a doctor's appointments. Kids need a ride here or there. How can we glorify God with our jobs? How can I share my job with God? All you got to do is invite Him to be with you there all day. Know that He's there with you. Use your job as a place to witness to others in every way that is possible. And if you're not allowed to read the Bible or talk about God during your work hours, it gives you a good place to connect with people that you can at another time. How can I glorify God with my home? Well, you can invite somebody over for a meal. You can use your home for Bible study or just share it with someone who needs a place to stay. How can we glorify God with our food? We know we have an abundance of food in our culture today. You see, well, first and foremost, we should thank God every time we sit down, even if we're just simply munching on some French fries at the local restaurant. We can give thanks to God for giving it to us. Have you ever thought about going through the drive-thru and giving the worker at the drive-thru at the payment window maybe a $20 bill and saying, "Here, take this off the check of the person behind me"? You say, "Oh, they're going to steal it." Well, maybe so. That's true faith. That's really trusting in God and glorifying God, saying, "God, this doesn't really mean what we think it does. Here, I'm going to give to someone else." How about our children? How can we glorify God with our children? Wow. We could be here for a week talking about that. Bring them to church, for crying out loud. Why aren't the kids not in church today? It's the parents' fault. Because the parents aren't bringing them to church. I'm a product of that. Raise up a child in the ways that they should go, and when they get older, they'll return to it. We don't have anybody to blame but our parents today, that our churches are void of kids. They're letting the kids make the schedules on Sunday mornings. Is it any wonder our churches are empty and we're not glorifying God with our kids? Instead, we're driving them off to the sports fields and the events at the school, which is another story. and making poor choices in our spiritual journey? How can we glorify God in our favorite activities, in our conversation? How can we glorify God in all those things? I had an interesting thing happen to me I want to share with you folks before I close today. I've told you folks about how we pray before we hunt. No matter who's hunting with me, we pray before we hunt. And the one fellow that I've started to waterfowl hunt with in the last couple of years, now we've gotten in, that's our routine. Before we hunt in the morning, we pray no matter where we are. We pray about it for safety, for guidance, that we would enjoy being out in God's creation, thanking God for the creation around us. And of course, I'm always the one to pray. I had an interesting thing happen back in January. It was a nice cold morning, and we were taking one more boat journey on the Susquehanna River hunting that morning. And as we backed the boat out into the cold water that morning, there were three of us in the boat, anxious to get going with our trip that day. As we backed the boat out into the waters of the Susquehanna River, my friend said, "Mike, if you don't mind, I'd like to do the honors this morning." That, folks, was awesome. You see, we can glorify God in everything and anything we do, every single day of our lives. In our conversation, we speak about God. We tell others about God. We share with God when something good happens in our lives. We share everything. How can we share our hearts with God, our trust with God, our talents with God, and so on and so on? I'm out of time. I have to stop here. I'll leave it up to you to decide what you want to share. The list is endless when we offer it up to God. It's not payback. It's not evening the score. It's having the right mindset that in our relationship with God, God's my friend, and look at what He has shared with me. And oh, I am so thankful. I want to share my best with the Lord my God because He's my friend. You see, not because I owe Him something, because He's my friend. And I'm thankful that He has enriched my life through all these different avenues. But most of all, I'm thankful that He's given me assurance of eternal life in Jesus Christ. And He has made that known to me. So I'm going to leave it up to you to decide what you want to share with the One who has given us all things, even eternal life. Let's pray. God, we are